to say that our God needs to be exalted. Our God needs to be honored. Our God is bigger than anything in heaven and in the earth. Hallelujah to the God of our salvation. For he and he alone, hallelujah, is deserving today of our adoration. He and he alone is deserving of recognition. Hallelujah. You ought to take a moment right where you are and recognize the work. Hallelujah. Of our God. We bless the name of God today. We give him glory. We give him honor. We give him praise. We extol his name. Hallelujah. Come on and honor the refuge. Come on and honor the rock. Come on and honor him. You ought to say something to him today and bless the name of God. Don't you ever let an opportunity to praise God pass you by. Don't you ever let an opportunity to lift his name to pass you by. Certainly our God loves to hear the praises of his people. Oh, that men would praise the name of our God. Well, you stuck with me this morning. This is Pastor Joe Brown of House of Healing DMV. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of you who have decided to awake and join us on the line on today. Excited to have you. Thank you so much to the members of HOH that are on. Thank you to all returning guests that are on. But a special word of gratitude to anyone who may be joining us for the very first time. Welcome to the Empowerment Call of the House of Healing DMV, which is held every Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are excited that you are here. We welcome you. We pray that this is the first of many Wednesdays that you will join us. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and text your accountability partner for Wednesdays. Go ahead and text your partner. Tell them to get on up. Make sure they're up. Make sure they're on the line. You don't want to miss this word of faith on this morning. Come on, make sure that they are here and they're ready to see what God has to say. And while you're doing that, just let me run through a couple of announcements real quick before we get into the word of the Lord. Just want to remind everyone that course prayer and Bible study is happening on tonight. We have been moving through a series during the month of June. We're laying down some foundational things over the summer. And so we started with hearing the voice of God, and now we've moved into a suite of spiritual gifts. And we've already talked about the charismatic gifts found in Corinthians, and we talked about the motivational gifts found in Romans. And so tonight, the ascension gifts and more is happening on tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time via Zoom. So log on to our website, houseofhealingdmv.com. Go to the happenings page, and you can get all of what's going on with us right there. Bookmark that page. It is there on the happenings page where you can sign up for our Ladies of Legacy Weekend, which is our women's retreat. You can sign up for that event. It's right there on the happenings page. You can sign up for our skate party on July 9th. It's right there on our happenings page. You can sign up to receive our mobile text alerts, so that you'll always know what's happening with the House of Healing DMV. It's right there on our happenings page. At the end of the week, we will have a full calendar for July through November, through December of 2022 available, so that you can keep up with the House of Healing DMV. We want you near. We want you participating. We want you active with what we're doing. So make sure that you have bookmarked our happenings page, houseofhealingdmv.com. Go to that happenings page, and you can keep up with everything going on with us, including Sunday morning worship, 11 a.m. Masks are required. Temperatures are checked at the door, but we want you there. Come on back to the house of God and worship with us, and let's honor the name of the Lord together. All right, our psalm, as we continue our study through the book of Psalm, and I'm so excited about today's psalm. It unexpectedly blessed me in a way that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad that Psalm 57 fell on my doorstep. I'm so glad. Here it is, Psalm 57, just 11 verses. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. I would like to use for a subject for the next few moments, I'm too big for the enemy to swallow. I'm too big for the enemy to swallow. I'm too big for the enemy to swallow. You ought to write that down. You ought to text it to yourself. You ought to confess it as a word of faith over your life. I'm too big for the enemy to swallow. As we come to Psalm 57, we come to a psalm that was written during one of the lower points in David's life. David has been anointed as the future king of Israel and is growing in respect among the people. But not everyone is eager to see David prosper. King Saul, who was the current king, despises David's growing popularity and eventually determines that David must die. In God's plan, David finds out about Saul's intentions and flees. Before long, David finds himself hiding in a cave of Adullam from Saul and those who seek his life. It is from this experience of hiding in a cave that Psalm 57 is written. The backstory is found in 1 Samuel 22. What's incredible is that for all that David is going through, the contents of the psalm are much different than what may be expected. Even though David is hiding in a cave as the king hunts for him, David doesn't write a psalm of lament or a psalm of complaint. He also writes Psalm 34 in the cave of Adullam. Okay, that's important to note as we progress through Psalm 57. He does desire God to get him out, but his primary aim is the praise and the glory of God. David desires for God to be known and praised throughout the earth, and he asks God to use his salvation to rescue him. What's clear in the psalm is the value that David places on the glory of God. The glory of God is not easy to define, but stated simply, it's the essence of who God is in his character, his beauty, his majesty, and his power and his greatness. To know the glory of God is to have an understanding of his character, beauty, majesty, power, greatness, and to then spread the glory of God is to help others to see and know those very same things. For David, there is nothing as important as the spread, manifestation, and exaltation of the glory of God. It is the most chief thing in David's life. This is why David could praise God alone with the sheep. David could praise him in a heart in a palace with Saul. David always found some way, somehow, some point to exalt the name of God. Even though here in Psalm 57, David is in a very rough position and he is asking God to rescue him, the heart of David's prayer is for the glory of God to be all over the world. In the psalm, David prays with confidence that God will rescue him. We see that in verses 1 through 4. And he even praises God for the deliverance he is sure that God will provide in verses 6 through 10. But the underlying theme in the psalm and David's primary aim is shown in both verses 5 and 11. Be thou exalted. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. When the Bible repeats itself, especially in such close proximity, it is for emphasis, for elevation of faith, and to exalt the voice of God. David was trying to bring a point home. Something has occurred between verses 3, where he fears that the enemy will swallow him up, and verse 5, where he is now in a posture of wanting to exalt the Lord. When the psalm opened up in verse 1, it was obvious that the need and the pain in David was great, because he asked the Lord twice to be merciful unto him. David came alone, discouraged, and in danger. This speaks to how desperate David was, because in verse 2, he reminded the Lord that he is his only trust. If I'm going to get out of this situation, I have to put my trust in you. I have to let you take care of this. He then goes on to paint the picture of how badly the enemy wants him in verse 3. The enemy desires to swallow him up. He says in verse number 3, what David says is that God is going to send from heaven, all right? He's going to release help from heaven, and he's going to save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. He's going to save me from the reproach of him. The reproach means it is an address, all right, that is expressed audibly. It is an address that is put into motion, that expresses disapproval, that expresses disappointment. And I've come today to tell somebody that the enemy has tried to release a reproach against you. Oh my goodness, a place where he has decided that disapproval is what shall be marked over your life. Oh, but I've come today to tell somebody that the Lord approves you. I said the Lord approves you. People may not think that much of you or may not want that much from you, but the Lord approves you. And the reproach of the enemy shall not swallow you up. The abstain from the enemy shall not destroy you, because the Lord is going to send help from the sanctuary. The Lord is going to send help out of heaven, and the Lord is going to handle every enemy. Yes, he is. He is going to ensure that the enemy will not swallow you up. I told you that David, he came alone, discouraged and in danger. There was a great, great reproach that was over him, that was trying to pursue him. His enemy was not just Saul, but it was the effects of Saul's pursuit and how it had attacked his faith, how it had minimized his hope and his expectation. Oh, the enemy desire to swallow him up. This is crucial, because the enemy's desire for David is greater than to just stop him or to block his progress. The enemy's aim was to destroy David, to utterly kill him, to decimate him. And if he would have done that, you have to understand that he would have also destroyed a measure of Christ. My gosh. Why? Because David, Jesus rather, came through the lineage of what? Of David. He was after greater things than just what we could see in the eye, the natural eye. And I come to tell somebody today that the enemy's pursuit of you is greater than what you can just see. It ain't just about no house or no car or your possessions. My goodness, the enemy doesn't need possessions. But he's after the intangibles of what makes you you. He's after the spiritual intangibles of what makes you you. He's after your faith, your expectation, your spiritual gifts, your calling, your anointing, your destiny, your kingdom assignment. He's after what makes you you, your individuality. He wants to taint and corrupt your character, your temperament, your personality, so that Jesus would not come through your lineage. He wanted to utterly destroy and wipe out David. Oh, but I want somebody to hear me today, that for some of you, the enemy hasn't been trying to stop you or block you and let you remain alive, but because of you and who you are, what you have accomplished, and what you shall do, he wants to destroy you. He wants to wipe you off the face of the earth. What the enemy learned about David and what he has discovered about you is you're too big for the enemy to swallow. Oh my, you ought to confess that over yourself. I'm too big for the enemy to swallow. Saul tried to get to David, but was never able to get to him. Everything the enemy has tried against you has failed in this season. I said everything the enemy has tried against you has failed in this season. Instead of giving in to his feelings of aloneness, despair, and despondency, David called upon his main weapon, praise and worship. I've always told the house that your weapons have to work outside of the four walls of the church. David wasn't in a temple. He wasn't at Jesse's house. He wasn't in the palace. He wasn't with a bunch of other believers. He didn't have a band to help him. He was miles away from home and loved ones. He was in a dark, damp, dismal cave, but yet it is in this place that he still draws from the power of being in God's presence. These days, people minimize praise. They minimize worship. They do not easily ascend into the presence of God, but it doesn't matter if you lift your hands or if you open your mouth or if you dance before him, if you lay prostrate. It doesn't matter. The key is to get into the presence of the Lord. You've got to get into the presence of the Lord. All expressions and demonstrations of praise and worship before God matter. We have to stop, oh, I don't dance, or I don't need that, or I don't need worship, or I don't need to be in his presence for this length of time. You are doing yourself a disservice when you shoot down any expression of praise and worship. Why? Because you have put yourself in the equation of what you do and what you don't do. Baby, take yourself out of the equation. When you start saying things of what you do and what you don't do, you're putting flesh into the equation. But praise and worship is a spiritual thing. Take yourself out of the equation and put God in. God is in all forms of praise and worship, all demonstrations of praise and in worship. Empty yourself of what you don't do and just get into his presence. It was there that became the signal and the change in David. In verse number 7, David makes it clear. In verse number 7, he said, my heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. And I told you, when something is repeated again, it's for emphasis, but it is also for the elevation of faith. And David declares here that my heart is fixed. Though I'm in a dark, dismal, damp, dirty cave, I will not change my persuasion. I will sing and give praise unto my God. And I come to tell somebody, I don't know where you are. I don't know what situation you are in, but I need you to fix your heart. That I'm going to praise him through the storm. I'm going to praise him through the valley. I'm going to praise him through this situation. Yes, I will. I have decided that my heart is fixed. My focus is fixed because there is victory in your praise. Point number one, praise enlarges your perception of God. Hear what I say. Praise enlarges your perception of God. The Bible tells us this in Psalm 69 and 30. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. That's the Amplified Version. When we look at something with a magnifying glass, it gets bigger. When God gets bigger, our problems get smaller. Either your problem will be big or your God will be big. It's your choice, baby. It's all in where you put your praise. It's all in where you put your emphasis. When God gets bigger to us, then God gets bigger inside us. I said when God gets bigger to us, then God gets bigger inside us. When God is bigger inside us, then the enemy can't swallow us because we're constantly growing. We're constantly getting bigger. So no matter how the enemy tries, we'll become too big for him to consume. We'll become too big for the enemy to swallow. Point number two, praise reveals solutions we can't see. Praise reveals solutions we can't see. We all have issues in our lives we simply can't figure out. They tie us up in knots. They'll keep you up at night and in a revolving door of worry, panic, and agony. Psalm 73, verses 16 through 17, describes this kind of situation. I tried to understand all this, but it was too hard for me to see until I went to the temple of God. It was too hard for me to see until I went to church. Then I understood what will happen to them. That's in the New Century Version. The temple of God was a metaphor in the psalm for coming into the presence of God. It was through worshiping God that the writer got his answer. It was through worshiping God that the writer was able to see some solutions. God provides answers during our times of worship. As I'm thanking God, the Spirit of the Lord drops an idea into my mind. As I'm worshiping God, the Spirit of the living God puts a vision before me. The Spirit will give you a vision in your spirit as you ascend into the presence of God. With active vision comes a stirring of faith. With active vision comes a stirring of faith. When our faith soars, then our spirit man grows, and we become too big for the enemy to swallow. We can't consume some. He can't consume someone whose faith is striving. When your faith gets too big, the enemy can't wrap his mouth around you. This is why Proverbs 29:18 states that without a vision, the people perish. A vision will keep you alive and keep you moving from the enemy. David was running from Saul, but he was running toward the vision of kingship. He knew he had been anointed by Samuel and that his time is not quite yet. A vision was stimulating him. It gave him more to live for. What has God given you to see? What's left for you to do? You ought to give God praise for it, even if you don't have it yet, because a vision will keep you alive. A vision from God will make your faith soar. And when your faith is sore, you'll become too big for the enemy to swallow. Point number three, praise keep you focused on a God outcome. I said praise will keep you focused on a God outcome. Often when we're thinking about a big problem, it's all we can think about. It colors everything in our lives. What the enemy don't want you to think about is the God outcome. He wants you to confess, meditate, and accept the problem and the potential that you will be destroyed. Oh, but I need somebody today to reject it. All. Reject the notion of the enemy that he has you in a corner. Reject the notion of an enemy that you are about to be destroyed. That enemy is a liar. The truth of the matter is you're about to see the demonstrative hand of God. When you praise God, it brings the heart and mind into the state of expectation and hope. Your praise communicates the message. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and in my life. It is an imbalance to constantly think about the problem and never think about the God outcome. Praise corrects the imbalance. Praise corrects the imbalance, and it helps you to stay focused on a God outcome. It'll remind you that not everything in your life is bad. Oh my, you can have one thing going wrong, but five things going right, and the enemy will help you to focus on that one thing. Oh, but I come to tell somebody today that praise keeps you focused on a God outcome. In Psalm 105, the Bible describes this pattern. Thank God. Pray to him by name. Tell everyone you meet what he has done. Sing him songs. Belt out hymns. Translate his wonders into music. Remember the world of wonders he has made, his miracles, and the verdicts he's rendered. Psalm 105 and 1. Psalm 105 and 5 in the Message Bible. When you have problems, you tend to focus on the negative, but praise helps you remember who you are and who God is. And who is he? Here's one of the last attributes in point number four. Point number four, praise enlists God's protection. This is my final point. When you praise God for an answer to your prayer before it happens, that's fake. And that's when God begins to fight for you. Praise is nothing but a message of faith. Praise is nothing but a message of faith. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read about three enemy nations who ganged up on Israel. The only chance Israel had was for God to miraculously save them. So King Jehoshaphat organized an unusual battle plan. He put a choir in front of the army as they marched into battle. The Bible says as soon as the Israelites started praising God, confusion ensued and the enemy was defeated. The Lord wants to fight your battles too, Alpha Healing. He wants to fight your battles. And when you praise him in advance, you release the protective nature of God. There is something about the sound of praise. There is something about dancing before the Lord, lifting your hands before the Lord, laying prostrate before the Lord, that what it does is that it provokes the hand of God. And God decides to rise up from his throne. And he says, who is that exalting me like this? I've got to come down and see who it is that is needing my attention, who it is that is pulling on my heartstrings, who it is that has called upon my name and has acted in such a realm of faith. Because when you act in that posture of faith, it pleases God and it causes God to act on your behalf. So as I bring my Sunday school lesson to a close, I must remind you of Psalm 57 and verse number 11. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. This stanza of this particular song is repeated because of its goodness and for emphasis. It's important to remember that David's circumstances were not much better when he sang this song. Hear that. David's circumstances were not much better when he sang this song. Now, if you remember when David was in danger at Gath, David was delivered immediately. But a cave was a long way from the throne of Israel, which God had promised him. My God, the vision was still a long way off. But David was still in a posture of praise and worship. David didn't wait for his circumstances to change before he praised God above the heavens. But the latter clause of the verse says, let your glory be above all the earth. We sense the freedom in David's spirit. Though he is still in a cave, his soul glorified God above the earth. The difference between Psalm 5 and verse 5 in Psalm 57 and verse 11 in Psalm 57 is that in verse 5, although both verses have the same song lyric, in verse 5 it is sung out of defiant faith, but in verse 11 it is sung out of love. It is sung out of a gratitude of love because now David is experiencing the love of God. And I want you to leave this line this morning, not just in defiant faith, but in the unfailing love of God. Understanding as we pick right up from our exhortation on Sunday that God loved you so much that he is going to rescue you. He loves you so much, hallelujah, that he has sent a life raft down to get you, and he has made you too big for the enemy to swallow. When you enter into that place of praise, praise will make you bigly. I said praise will make you bigly, so bigly that the enemy cannot swallow you up. Oh, and I come to tell somebody today that the enter into this place of praise. prayer, that you ought to be in the presence of God all day long. You ought to be in the presence of God all week long. Don't you wait for Sunday. Don't you wait for somebody to grab a mic and coach you into an exhortation. But you dance in your house. You lift your hand in your house. You run in your house. You open your mouth in your house. You lay prostrate in your house. But you may be in a cave, but you get to the presence of God. You may be in a dark place, but get to the presence of God. You may be in a dismal place, but get to the presence of God, because you will discover that you're too big for the enemy to swallow. So, Father, I thank you now for your people. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you, dear God, that faith is ignited and stirred on this line this morning, that your people, God, not only have defiant and unrelentless faith and the ability to put their trust in you, as David did in Psalm 57 in Yeshua, but we be merciful unto us. Be merciful unto us. Somebody is in a situation today, God, that seems like it is too overwhelming for them, where, God, they are unable to see the greatness and the power and the majesty and the glory of God. But I pray, God, that as they enter into the space of praise, God, that their perspective will change. God, that their perspective will lift, that their mindset will shift in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray that praise will be such a consuming fire in their lives, that praise would be such a driving force in their life, that their perspective will line up with the word. Their perspective will line up with what heaven has said and declared about them, that they will operate in a victorious perspective. We don't operate in a defeated perspective. We don't operate in a place of failure, but because we don't know a day without victory, we always operate from a winner's perspective in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we thank you now for the power of our praise. We thank you right now for shifting mindsets and shifting thoughts. We thank you, Lord, for the elevation of faith. We thank you, dear God, for enlisting the right attitude within your people in the name of Jesus. As we think, God, according to your ways, as we operate according to your voice and your word, we thank you that our praise will reveal solutions that we can't even see. There are still answers that only heaven can provide. And as we ascend into the presence of the Lord, we give your name glory and we give your name honor. God, that you are releasing answers. You don't have to leave us destitute. We don't have to be left, God, in a place of wandering and a place of, God, where we don't know. But because you are the all-knowing God and there is no knowledge that escapes your mind, there is no direction that escapes your mind. We are clear that all answers are inside of you. And so we pray, God, for the resolution to be revealed. Open the eyes of your people that they will see the resolve of God. Open the eyes of your people that they can receive the directive, the instruction of the Lord in the name of Jesus. You said in your word, Father, that you would not have your children to be ignorant. Educate and enlighten. Inspire and inform. Oh, Father, in this season, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of ignorance, but as we ascend unto your presence, we place the necessary demand upon heaven to invoke heaven to speak to us, God. Release your voice. Release it in such a magnanimous way. Let your voice quiet, God, every enemy. Let your voice steal every enemy that your voice pushed back, every enemy, and the answer, the resolution of God is clear in the name of Jesus. We thank you that our praise will cause us to focus on the God outcome in this season, God, where the enemy wants the minds of your people to be burned down. We put on the garment of praise. Where there is heaviness, we cast it off. We cast it to the side, and we put on the garment of praise. We will focus on the God outcome. We will focus, God, on what you have done in the spirit, even before it manifests in the earth. We thank you, dear God, that the healing is done, the deliverance is done, the provision is done, the salvation is done. We thank you, God, that the job has come, that the door has opened. It's already done in the heavens. Now we give you praise for the manifestation that shall come in the earth. We cry, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let it be done in our lives. We focus on the God outcome. We don't choose to focus on any problems. We will not exalt the problem, but we will celebrate the bigness of our God. We will celebrate the bigness of our God inside of us. We will celebrate the wonders of our Savior. We will celebrate the promise of our God. We will celebrate the word of the Lord. We will celebrate the name of our Father. That's what we'll focus on. We'll focus on the outcome of the situation, how you fought the battle, how you released the angels, how you granted us victory, how you subdued the enemy, how you pushed back the enemy, how you fought the battle for us. That's where our focus is. We're focusing on God, and we'll leave this line praising you for your protection. It could be worse than what it is. The enemy could have took us out. The enemy could have destroyed us. Oh God, but because you made us too big for the enemy to swallow, the weapon formed, but the weapon didn't prosper. The enemy tried, but the enemy failed. He tried to consume, but there was a command that came out of heaven that said, live, boy, that said, live, girl. We thank you right here for your protection. Thank you for keeping your people, keeping them in the midst of worry, keeping them in the midst of stress, keeping them in the midst of strain, keeping them in the midst of heartache, keeping them when they didn't want to be kept, keeping them from sin, keeping them from the enemy. You've been our deliverer, and you've been our keeper. You've been our sustainer. We've seen you push the enemy back. We've seen you held us together. We've seen you keep our mind intact. We've seen you bring the victory. We've seen you make the way. We've seen you do it. And we give you praise for your protection. You have thwarted car accidents. You have cast the devil out of houses. You have cast the devil out of families. You have cast the devil out of us. And now we have risen to be too big for the enemy to swallow. It's no goodness of our own. You made us overcomers of the world. You made us more than conquerors. You called us victorious. You made us too big for the enemy to swallow. And we give your name glory. We give your name the honor for the manifestation of your majesty, the manifestation of your power, the manifestation of your strength. For God, you have given us a mighty testimony, and we will praise you for your protection. I don't know this morning what testimony testimony you want to give God praise for, but I need you to give God praise right here for your testimony of healing. He healed you from cancer, healed you from AIDS, healed you from diabetes, healed you. You need to give him praise. You might got a praise of provision. He supplied. He made the way. You may have a praise for victory over sin. The habit was consuming. You lost your identity. You didn't know who you were. But now God cleans you up, straightens you up, and puts you on a different pathway. I don't know today, but I hear God say, give me praise for your testimony of how I protected you. You may have been homeless. You may have been starving. You may have had to go without. Oh, but I want you to know today that God protected, God preserved you when the enemy came in like a flood, overwhelmed your mind, overwhelmed your heart, overwhelmed your spirit. The Lord became a relief. The Lord became a balm. The Lord became medicine. The Lord became joy. The Lord became love. When the enemy left you for dead, when the enemy left you crying, God wiped away tears from your eyes, and God said, to stand up on your own two feet. I've got to let this go, but you got to release from the atmosphere a praise for your testimony. As you leave this line today, go in victory. Go with the understanding that the love of God has caused you to see the great and mighty hand of God, and make the declaration, I'm too big for the enemy to swallow. God bless.